everybody. Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. I'm Kim.
And I'm Kyle. And Kim, you know what my favorite thing is?
What?
A 70,000 hour tell-all. Especially, especially the end. The end of the tell-all is always the best episode of the season. I don't know why the entire season isn't just tell-alls. Make it a 17-part tell-all, you know? We don't even need to know them. Just throw them on stage. Get Barbara on that.
Honestly, you think that they would save, like, the most explosive part for the last tell-all? But they don't do that. They just, like, blow their load early, and then it tapers off into nothingness. I think that they're trying to contrast with the episode premiere or the season premiere of Before the 90, and it's just going to seem that much better with this boring part three tell-all.
But you know what we really, really needed on this tell-all was Chris's mom just coming out and saying, Chris is, I like her, and she's good, and Jamie's bad, and thanks to, nice to meet y'all.
I did appreciate the Monica appearance, because I was like, how the hell is this woman going to defend herself? And she literally didn't. I really enjoyed that, and I enjoyed Tim and Veronica attempting to host. Like, it was so weird and awkward, and Tim's takes were almost as bad as Debbie's. I mean,
really bad. Really bad.
I don't know. Jamie gives me Jennifer vibes. I'm like, how? Because she's from a neighboring country and is moderately the same age. Like, they're nothing alike.
You are so, so stupid. All females that currently inhabit the borders of the country of Colombia are the same. What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh my God. He really, like, again, Jamie hasn't asked for shoes. She didn't ask for any gifts or material things. We saw her buy gifts for Chris. We didn't see Chris bring her a goddamn thing. And on Tim's season, we saw him loading up suitcases that came from Jennifer's shopping list. And, like, I don't even understand how these two situations are even remotely similar.
All you have to know about Chris is that she counts all of the money she spent in Colombia generally, not even on plane tickets. She counts the hot dog she got walking down the street as an expense of the relationship. So that's all you need to know about her mindset on money.
It's incredible. Nobody calls Chris out for how did you think you were going to make it work moving down there. Nobody says you told Jamie to quit her job. Nobody asks her why she didn't pay the rent when she asked for the American kitchen and she was the reason they needed such an expensive apartment. Nobody talks about Jamie being an immigrant in Colombia and that it's more difficult for her to secure employment. Nothing.
We didn't see Jamie working and busting her butt. What the fuck are you... God.
Debbie has the worst fucking takes. Awful. Awful. She was infuriating this entire tell-all. She didn't even say anything funny. Except about Johan's giant dong in the first part. That was it. She loves Johan. It's really funny.
But she's an inspiration, Kim. You know?
Jen only loves Debbie because Jen wants to fuck her son. And
yeah, I know.
I mean, it's her future mother-in-law. What's not to love about Julian? Truck balls.
God.
Lots of things.
Kim, the only product of this entire season was Gabe and Isabel getting married and then Jen banking Julian in the back of a Dodge Ram.
I think Jen is proud. Who do you think Jen's had more sex with now in the current day? Julian or Rishi in the last 3 years?
Stop it. Horrible.
I'm just saying.
I'm saying it right now. every season of 90 Day Fiancé should be 9 episodes and 1 tell-all. Done.
I don't know. I was into 12 episodes of this season. I never got bored. You're having recency bias because
those 9 episodes would have been even better. You're wrong.
I mean, I am all for new content more frequently. I agree.
I might be having recency bias, but I'm also having long-term rage.
You have trauma from HEA.
Thank you.
It's 18. Thank you for
acknowledging my pain.
4-part mega tell-all with Big Ed and Angela. Horrible. I mean, it was a lot. It was hard. Those were tough days. They'll come back.
This was obviously a mile above that.
Absolutely.
They didn't follow Debbie and Jen getting wasted at a gin bar after the tell-all, thankfully.
I would have liked that, actually.
Ugh.
Ugh. Oh, man. Put Debbie back on that fucking donkey. I mean, her takes were horrible. She sided with the worst Americans, no matter how wrong they were, but then loved Johan. That was so funny to me. I don't know why.
Because Danielle is a feminist. We can't have that.
Yeah.
We're not cool with that.
Debbie is the anti-feminist.
I mean, honestly, again, nobody called out Danielle for anything she did the entire season at all.
Nothing.
Not one single second. That tell all the clips they showed, pretty much everything was focused on shitting on Johan the entire time, who, let's be clear, is a man child. And he sucks. But yeah, they didn't even, for once, nobody called Danielle on anything real the entire time. It was just this amorphous, you emasculated him and you have his balls in your weird shit. And then Danielle, I think, smartly turns it around and says, I would have been fine to be a trad wife, which I don't believe for a second, but it was a good comeback if he fucking did anything besides try to sell rotten meat.
No mention of the butcher shop.
None.
So disappointing.
None.
Total failure on Sean Robinson's part. Not since
episode 2, by the way.
I know.
Not even a cursory, how's the butcher shop going?
Nothing. You know? So frustrating.
How many recalls have been issued for your meat, your various meats?
The butcher shop was one of the funniest things about the entire season, too. It was so fucking funny.
What version of the Excel sheet are we on? How are your formulas going, Danielle?
Wait.
Yeah.
I put it all in the computadora.
La computadora. Have you made the switch to numbers yet?
What do you think about the take that Johan says he pays half of all the bills in the rent?
Laughable.
You don't think it's true?
There's no evidence for that. The only thing that supports Johan paying anything is kind of the counter of, well, what the fuck is Danielle paying? She doesn't have any money either.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, that doesn't make any sense because
yeah,
we have no proof that Danielle has any money.
We only have proof of her insane debts to society.
Which she's got to go back to, I guess, but
I mean, not really society, a for-profit toll corporation, but
which is a racket, to be fair. Taylan, in the season, I was just like, that's just some guy. He looked so good during this tell-all. I was like, what is going on? When was Taylan hot the whole time?
I think you just hate pink shirts.
I like pink. on men.
He looks exactly the same. Exactly the same. Yes.
I was like, that's Taylan? I was like, he looks great. I have to say, like, Danielle is slamming some hot ass. Like, she's got Johan and then Taylan.
It's ridiculous. Kim, you missed out. You know, no.
Clearly, your husband, I was doing something wrong when I was single. I don't know. I
don't want to insult your husband, but you should have inserted a giant pink crystal into your uterus 20 years ago and planted a banana tree.
I mean, she must be doing something right. I would never want to be in a relationship with either of these people, but they're pretty hot if you're just banging around, you know?
Is Danielle literally proving that love potions work? That this is real? Like, what other explanation could there be at this point?
I need to go to the herbalist. Clearly. I mean, that is my issue. So it's on me. This is on me. Monica doesn't even regret not going to the wedding. And it makes me so sad. Like, she showed no remorse at all. She made it all about her. It was so bad. It made the entire cast was rolling their eyes at her too, which is kind of funny.
Nobody was Team Monica. Not at all. Zero people. I think Sean Robinson just stunned by her fucking bullshit. And it seems like, I mean, she's only remorseful when she gets what she wants, which is reconciliation. I mean, I do think that she wants to reconcile with Gabe, and she doesn't do literally a single thing to deserve Gabe's forgiveness. And she's only fake remorseful when the cameras are on her backstage and everything has actually worked out exactly as she wanted. She got to make her fucking dumb point and Gabe forgives her, and now you're a happy family. So yeah, now I'm sorry. Okay.
I mean, Gabe forgave her and hugged her. I thought that was very gracious of him.
Totally, yeah.
I mean, he...
I can't identify with wanting forgiving my sister for anything, but...
No, especially, not going to your wedding. Did Gabe say? You could have, shot me in the head and, kicked me in the face and I still would have gone to your wedding or something along those lines, broken my arm and kicked me in the face. I was like, yeah, pretty much. All you have to do is go and show up. Well, I couldn't stop crying. Okay, come on, man. It's pathetic.
The whole bizarre communication thing was really strange, but it's even stranger for her to justify that as a reason to not go.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, it was really... Oh, well, I didn't know if I had known your mom made me a bridesmaid dress, then I would have gone. Really?
If I would have known that people were thinking about me and doing things for me, I would have gone. If I would have known that this would have been more about me, I would have totally been there.
Basically, she made it all about her. I don't know. She's pretty insufferable.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pie: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh,
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Bravo Bros.
Good job.
Wait, Nicole and Mahmood again, because we didn't have enough of them the last 12 episodes of this tell-all. but let's bring in Ahmed to ruin any goodwill that we may have had toward him in the past.
Right? Why are these two, like, cracking up? They are cracking up.
It's bizarre. Is there... I do wonder if there is a cultural thing that we're missing here, but man, that's not a good look. And even if it, like, there's a part of me that thinks, okay, if his whole family reacts like this, that's odd, but I'm willing to accept that. What is strange, though, is you married someone that finds that deeply offensive and uncomfortable, but you still continue to do it in spite of that. You know, that's what always bugs the shit out of me. Like, you can say, okay, this is my personality, but you chose to marry someone that finds that really problematic and strange. And there's no effort. They didn't even like apologize. Like, yeah, I'm sorry. I know that's kind of strange, but it's just the way that we deal with uncomfortable situations. They didn't even do that. They just kept laughing.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
And again, not really any refutation from Mahmood about this Chinese woman at all.
Nothing. No.
He basically admits it. Like, yeah, we were talking. I was asking about a TV. And it's so strange. Again, it's kind of like a Chris maneuver. They do no explaining. They just do something so strange and uncomfortable that everyone just kind of moves on. Again, there's no follow-ups. Nobody presses him on anything because he just laughs and they're like, okay, I guess we're not getting anywhere with this. Let's have Debbie chime in about how they're not malicious. Okay, Deb, thanks. Mm-hmm. Thank you, cultural Egyptian expert Debbie. You should ask Julian's opinion on it. I'm sure he would have like deep insights.
Yeah, it's just really weird. I mean, it's almost like Ahmed. Is that his name or is it Ahmed? Mahmood and Ahmed are like in cahoots about this. And the fact that it was like a Chinese woman, I just wonder if there's some connection through his in-laws, Fatima, or his wife. Yeah. Like, it just seemed weird that there was no explanation about it. And Mahmood even admits, yeah, I asked her age. Yeah, I asked some inappropriate things. No, I wouldn't be okay if Nicole had this conversation with a stranger. He fully admits that.
Right.
He's just like really laughing. It's very weird. And
it's funny. It's funny how when he was asked, how would he feel if Nicole was chatting with some dude online and he says not happy? It's interesting how they didn't laugh about that. There's no nervous laughter there.
Nope. There's no nervous laughter when he's pissed off about what Nicole's wearing. Just when he does something, I don't know. I did not like it.
There was no nervous laughter this entire cringy ass tell-all.
Yeah. I did think it was fucking hilarious when Sean Robinson opened up with, Ahmed, why do Nicole and Mahmood argue? And he said, they don't even know each other.
They know nothing about each other, and it takes time. Great marriage foundation. Awesome. Good work, everyone. Yeah.
I mean, we have to watch that whole pool, like, fight again where they're fighting in the street and she is pissed. Nicole said that was like the hardest day ever in Egypt. So I'm so glad the camera crew was there to catch it, because as we know, sometimes they miss things and it's very frustrating.
Kim, as we discussed in evidence, I don't even think this is a spoiler. The season's over. Mahmood's here.
Yeah.
Is Mahmood a genius? Because
how so?
Because if this was his plan all along to get to the United States, he had to do literally nothing to get here.
He winked at a girl in the market, Kyle. Yeah,
he winked at a girl, and then he married her in 3 days at someone else's wedding, mind you. And then just bangs her at his mom's house a couple times, just demands that she changes. He's been in her presence for probably a grand total of 7 months. And he gaslit her so hard. This is a theory. He gaslit her into believing that he loved her and that she was the problem and that it was all about the clothes. And he manipulated her into believing that, you know, it's just because you can't handle Egypt, honey. So maybe I should, you know. And then he like fucking inceptioned her into believing that the only solution was to bring him to the United States. If this was the plan, he's a goddamn genius.
He is. Yeah. I mean, I never got the feeling that he even wanted to come here. But if that was his plan the whole time, he's pretty good at hiding his real intentions. I mean, yeah. Do you think he like winked at multiple?
That's like 18 layers of tinfoil right there.
How many women on Eat, Pray, Love spiritual journeys in Egypt do you think he winked at before he got one to respond?
Yeah. How many did this not work on before he found Nicole? That's a valid question.
At least like 60. I don't know. It worked on Nicole. Okay. Like, is that really all it takes?
Tall. Anyway. Not an uggo, you know?
Yeah.
Egypt. There you go. That's all it is. That was basically the plot of Eat, Pray, Love, right?
Something like that. I don't know. I didn't read
go
it.
Somewhere else and find not ugly man.
So I love when Gabe just like chimes in unprompted and said, words from my wife. Mahmood has everything in a man I would never want.
Here we go.
All right. Nicole should get a divorce. And again, a lot of people think that Nicole set Gabe up to like kind of go at Mahmood, which I don't put past her, really. I mean, she knows she can't go after him.
Gabe begins his preaching with he goes Fire Marshal Bill. Let me tell you something. Let me show you something. And then they cut to Rishi's face for a half second. I just texted you a screenshot I took with my phone. His face is great. It just looks like he smelled. Rishi's face looks like he just smelled an enormous pile of cow shit. He's like, oh God, here we go. We haven't done this 8 times yet. But here's where this was one of my favorite parts, where Gabe is going on and on, you have to divorce. And then he and Ahmed get into this dumb and kind of stupid back and forth. But then there's a part where even Chris and Danielle are dunking hardcore on Mahmood. And I found this really enjoyable. Chris points out that Ahmed, he's acting different when you're around. And that's why he's fielding all these questions and being calm about it. And Mahmood responds, oh, yeah, I mean, I'm being nice because my wife was crying earlier, and that's all. And so she responds with like a really good comeback, which is, oh, so you're just being totally fucking fake.
Yeah.
And he just mumbles something about, I'm not fake. And then the best line, I think, of the entire episode goes to Danielle. Sorry. She says, well, how about you try to just not be an asshole? And
like, that was funny.
Yes. That's it. That's what this has always been about. It has nothing to do with Islam or being a Muslim. It has everything to do with you being a fucking dick and a bad husband.
Yeah, I know. He says, you know, I'm not being an asshole to the cast right now because my wife got sad. And that's it. At the face that he makes when Chris starts like talking poorly about him and he does the like me 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 like face is embarrassing. That's like what my brother did when we were 10 years old, you know. It's bad. So
really bad. But you know, what's Debbie's take, Kim? Let's check in with old Deb.
Debbie says, it's not a malicious laughter, it's a nervous laughter. And I think that they can
Danielle's being too judgmental. Okay. All right.
Then Mahmood says religion is between God and the individual. When Sean asks, like, what do you think about, you know, what are you going to do in the States when Nicole's wearing what she's wearing now? Yeah. And he's like, well, you know, and I'm like, wait, what? What?
He falls back on that. Yeah, he falls back on this thing that he's done several times, which is to say, I'm just asking her. I'm not forcing. That's between her and God. I just ask. I don't force.
Yeah.
But then the second that she doesn't, he literally threatens divorce every time that this comes up. So, yeah, he's not holding a gun to her head or something, but that's pretty close to the definition of forcing. Especially when she's not even in her own country.
Well, we're not going to solve this today, Kyle. Thank you, right. Ahmed and Mahmood.
Thank you.
We wish
Thank
you, the
you
best.
Everyone. Yeah. Tim and Veronica, how do you feel? We hate Mahmood. Great. Let's move on.
So Monica is here now to talk with Gabe. Hi, Monica. This
Hi.
Is
stupid.
She looks, I have to say this, she looks great.
Oh yeah, the dress looks
Loved
good.
Loved her dress. She looks just like her mom. She is a spitting image of her mother. She's gorgeous. But she is pissed. So this is her she's pissed that Gabe told her that she's the reason that all of his past relationships have failed. That's what she's mad about. She's still mad about it. She was so mad about it a year ago at this point that she couldn't have gone to their wedding. And I'm just like, they start immediately like fighting like siblings, you know, Gabe and Monica. You did it. You did it. And we don't ever talk. You just send me memes. I don't send you memes. We talk on the phone every day. No, we don't. Yes, we do. No, we don't really talk. I'm like, oh, please stop.
This is unwatchable.
It's so bad.
Terrible.
I feel like I'm watching Bluey, like, fight with Bingo. It's
Bart
horrible.
And Lisa fighting.
Yeah.
And then ultimately, it seems like her excuse is this combination of, I was mad, but also, I was crying so much, I couldn't have possibly come to your wedding. I'm not going to show up to your wedding crying. Okay? So you have absolutely no control of your emotions as a grown-ass adult woman. That you can't, like, lock that away for tomorrow. You're just going to show up and you're still going to be bawling. She's a child.
It says everybody is rolling their eyes so hard. I wonder why we didn't get Randy's take on this one. Where did Randy go?
Come on. She had business. She had business elsewhere. She had to be in a hot pocket in Tijuana. Okay.
Danielle actually makes a good point here when she says, why didn't you just talk to Gabe about it? And like,
the horror.
Figure what? It out.
Excuse me? Communicate? And then she goes on to shit on them for bad communication for 20 minutes.
Oh my gosh, yeah. It does sound like they don't communicate at all.
It's
like,
so strange.
The fact that she didn't know she was supposed to be a bridesmaid and like this dress was being made for her, like nobody told her. It's very weird. I wonder if Isabel talks a lot to Gabe and Gabe says, see, but really she thinks that she told him something and Gabe doesn't understand, but he doesn't tell her he doesn't understand.
I fully buy that Gabe is terrified by confrontation.
Yeah.
And I think he also feels a little bit self-conscious because I don't know if this is true, but I think that he's convinced himself that his sister is smarter than him. And he doesn't want to confront her because she does, you know, verbal kung fu and makes him feel dumb all the time. Mm-hmm. And and so, but that's a really strange reason to not tell her just facts, like the color for the wedding is pink and there's a dress being made for you. So we're going to get your measurement. Like, what is confrontational about that? It's really, maybe she already had bought the dress and he didn't want to make her mad, but I don't, it's just strange.
It's very weird. I mean, they did hype this up. I don't know if Gabe does this intentionally or if he's just like good at hyping things for TV, but he says, well, Monica said something nasty about Isabel the night before the wedding.
But we never hear it.
I was shocked. I was like, oh my God, everybody's going to hate her so much being Monica because everybody loves Isabel. And then the mean thing was like, it was that she just, the mean thing was what Monica said about like their relationship. And they both admit it. Monica said,
that was it.
Oh, well, it's 2 in the morning.
I thought they glossed over it or they just dropped that because that I didn't even put that together that was the mean thing. Really?
Yeah. That like, oh, you know, if it causes problems in your relationship, Gabe, that I'm going to leave the bar before Isabel gets here, then that's a problem with your relationship, not with me. And
I mean, that's totally just true. I think that's just implicit, but that's the mean thing. Really?
All Gabe said is Isabel's going to be mad that you left. And I'm like, how is that a reflection on their relationship? I would be pissed if I made the effort to go all the way to some bar and then the person like left as I got there, you know, the day before my wedding.
I think her point was that if Isabel blamed Gabe for that, that is on their relationship, not her.
Sure. I mean, it just
feels like that's a truism. Like, I don't get why that's the mean thing.
Yeah, me neither. But Monica, I feel like, is exaggerating or lying about the story because she said it was 2 a.m. and the bar closed down. I was like, bars don't close in Medellin at 2 a.m. Sorry.
Why? If you're Isabel, I mean, I guess staying up late is it's a different culture there. 2:30, is that even late in Medellin? I don't know. But if someone's like, come over, it's 2:30, I would be like, I'm calling emergency services because why are you waking me up? Who fucking died? Who's dying?
I know. I would be pissed, especially the night before my wedding. I'm assuming if the wedding's on a Saturday, this is Friday night. It just, I don't think that's that late in Medellin, but I don't know. Nobody is on Monica's side here. No, not a single person defends her at all. And Isabel says, like, this is still like such a shitty excuse to have missed the wedding. Like, yeah, I mean, Jamie has the best line. She says, that's a pretty harsh revenge. I liked that.
It's just nonsensical, all of it. So,
yeah. I mean, Monica keeps attacking Gabe.
Yeah, the sibling rivalry thing is so, ugh. It felt like a total waste of the audience's time. I don't know. Then, of course, there's reconciliation. Everyone's fine. Everyone's happy. Yay. Hug it out.
I felt like these were fake tears. I'm sorry. Like, fake tears. I don't know. She is not really crying. Gabe forgives her. He deserves a trophy. I couldn't believe that he forgave her, honestly.
Do you think this whole thing was fake? Do you think it was fake?
No, I don't think it was.
Do you think she was actually there?
She wasn't there.
Yeah.
Maybe she was. I mean, that would be like a whole different level of fakery if she was actually there.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad. You would think that some digital photo would have emerged.
Sure.
You know, but who knows? Well, Veronica and Tim can't believe that Monica didn't go to the wedding. Monica was trying to steal Gabe and Isabel's thunder, and Tim points out that Gabe sucks at communication, but that still doesn't mean you don't go to your sibling's wedding. Thanks, Tim, for the hot, hot take.
So glad you're there, buddy. Jen has this interlude where it's finally started to hit her how what Rishi's mom said was so gnarly.
Yeah.
I mean, we are cracking up, but this is finally like hitting her. And then she just starts dropping F bombs. Fuck you. Fuck your mom. Fuck her. Which I liked it. I thought this was a riveting scene. It was great.
This takes me back to like episode one when we saw Jen like wasted during COVID, like locked up in her house,
totally
sending messages to Rishi like, I love you. I miss you. Don't leave me. I love going dark,
like full Darcy. You never loved me. Get out of my life.
It's so great. She's pissed. She's so irritated that his mom called her an oldie. She's like screaming at Rishi, like, we will never speak again. Never, ever, never. It's like, okay. He gets it.
Rishi's explanation.
It's so good.
Like, if you think about it, I understand what he's saying, but what his words are literally, she's a proper housewife that doesn't know how to talk to people. She's been locked inside a house and doesn't interact with humans. She's a dumb, proper housewives like I wish you were never leave the house and don't even know how to talk to people.
It's really good. I know what he means. Like his mom has her world is small. She doesn't go on TV talking to millions of people. She doesn't talk to foreign women.
I don't think she's on social media.
Yeah, to her, it's not controversial to be like, she's old.
What? Like, this is like the
controversial
whole.
Controversial.
Right. This is what we've talked about with South America and just calling people fat.
Yeah.
It's just, what? Look, you have eyes? What's the issue?
They're like, I'm stating a fact. She is old. Like, she's too old for you. And like, that is her reality. So I get it. I don't think she's trying to be mean to Jen or disrespectful. She just the way that she was taught in her world, Jen is too old for Rishi, period. And that's it. It's just the reality. She's just being direct. But
I'm starting to second guess if I can be with him.
Really? Just now? We were second guessing a year ago when you were in India.
What would it have taken for you to fucking second guess? So this entire time with Randy and Myra berating you, there was no second guessing until just now. There wasn't second guessing when you broke up with him. Okay.
I love that while this is happening, the rest of the cast is like in that little break room.
Talking shit. Yeah.
Talking shit. And Debbie's like, Rishi's two-faced. I don't like that guy. And Danielle is the only one that has any context here that's like, well, he'd have to go against his family. That's pretty hard for, you know, him to do in his culture.
She's the only person that points out that he's probably a decent guy.
Yeah.
And she feels some empathy for him. And Jen admits on camera that she knows that this is not his fault.
Yeah.
And Debbie, I think, says that she wants to kick Rishi in the balls. I don't know. I might have written that down wrong. I might have expanded on that. But I think she said something like that.
She said, "I would, if I could, I would use these boots for something other than walking. Okay. I don't know. Okay. Something uh-huh. like she implies some she would like to make some contact with her yeah. boot and Rishi's balls. Right. Yes.
Yeah. It's a very yes. Southern way of saying kick in the nuts because you can never say anything that's literally true. It always has to yeah. be euphemisms about assault. That's the way that you express yourself. It's fine.
Time to go back to set. Oh, wait. Jen's not here. Rishi, what happened? Where's Jen? Rishi is literally across the fucking world, and Sean Robinson is pretending they just have no idea where Jen is or what's going on.
Like... Jen was giving Julian a hand job.
How great would it have been if Jen was actually like, if they gave them alcohol like they did during the HEA tell-all, and she was making out with Julian like wasted in the break room? That would have been great.
She's doing the old Oklahoma tug-tug.
I don't think that's a thing.
How do you know?
We'll have to ask Jake.
He'll know what it is.
Yeah. He'll know if it's a thing. I don't know. People, again, they have the same stupid takes. Like, he needs to defy his mother. Danielle thinks he's a good man. And so, Jen, where does the relationship stand? No answer. Nobody knows. I just don't know if we can get past this. Girl, we had this conversation last year when you were filming, which was literally a year before this tell-all was filmed. What do you Randy's, mean you don't know?
Randy's enraged.
She should has to be.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
I agree with Tim. Tim, this is the only good take Tim has the entire tell-all, which is they need to accept that this is a wrap. There's just too many obstacles. And, you know, what does a happy ending even look like for these two? There's no version of a happy ending. Like, they just need to be friends. That's the happiest thing they can hope for. And just move the fuck on.
Yeah.
And then we get another break because Jen is so upset. And Gabe is a shitster. I kind of love that about him because people tend to trust him too. So they like tell him too much information, which is great. And Gabe says, like, how are you going to wait? I don't think this is your person. And this is when Jen... I'm not letting any opportunities pass me by. I mean, maybe I gave my phone number to someone.
So Jen's down to fuck, but, you know, Jamie, after being ghosted, you know, she's a cheater.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I thought Jen and Rishi were engaged.
Rishi did. And then we have wrapping up this entire season.
Sorry, quick question.
What else?
Jen and Julian, do you think they're going to be on Single Life?
No.
You don't think?
No, she's an oldie. Might as well be 100. This guy.
They have oldies on that show. They had Debbie.
No, Julian's not into her. He's just being nice.
You don't think so?
No, come on. Julian is at the fucking truck stop drinking Coors Light. He's nailing I don't think Julian, I don't think has any problems in fucking Mississippi or wherever the fuck they are.
I don't think Julian's got any game.
He's a cop. He doesn't have to have game.
Okay. Look, fair enough.
Oh, like, what does Jen say? He doesn't look bad, and he has a profession. Yes, he's a professional. He's a job. Okay. That's the bar. He's not hideous, has job. That's it.
She says, Kyle, I could actually have a conversation with him. And he's my age. I don't think Jen remembers her own age. She is like 15 years older than Julian.
At minimum. Yeah.
And she says he's my age. I think Jen is delusional a little bit. She totally thinks that she's like delusional. 38.
I know. Totally delusional.
I kind of respect it.
So it's fitting that we end the season with Danielle and Johan, isn't it?
And Taylan. Don't forget Taylan.
And Taylan. Just for a moment, I want to list out some of the things that Johan said this tell-all about their relationship and then end with Danielle's thoughts on their relationship status. Okay. Johan, quote, "I'm not happy. She has pictures of her ex in her house. She said bad things about me to an ex-lover. It will cost you badly. You are not a partner with respect and love. Our relationship is worthless. She can have all her friends and ex-lovers. What do I care? On my mother, I'm serious. I have no motivation to keep this relationship going at all. Danielle, what are your thoughts on where the relationship stands? Well, I still want to be together and we'll see.
He says the relationship is a 0 out of 10.
A zero out of 10. Yeah.
And she's like, I'll never leave him.
Uh-huh. I thought it was great that all of the Latin people agree with Johan about all of this.
I know.
It was great. And
they all call it respect, too. It's really weird.
Isabel, Jamie, everyone, Veronica, kind of. Everyone's like, fuck this lady. But they won't really go after. They don't really go after her that hard at all, though. And again, they don't go after Danny for any of the specifics, like browbeating him into getting a sick apartment and then shitting on him for not being able to pay for it. Nobody talks about that at all.
Nobody. Yeah. No. Nobody really says anything bad about it. Apparently, she's a hero because she threw a birthday party for Johan. That's it.
She got a cake. Okay. Hashtag hero.
Oh my god, I forgot about the fucking cake scene. That was so absurd.
Tim thinks that they're a great couple. They're just a couple issues. They could work it out.
Danielle does bring stress into the relationship. Debbie really wants them to stay together, which is very confusing because I thought she was team Johan. Johan collapse his hands after Debbie says relaying her opinion.
Yeah, Debbie says that Danielle was insulting and disrespectful. And Johan all but stands up and claps. He really gives an enthusiastic endorsement of that take.
I didn't like the description of like an ex is a, what did Debbie call him? A fun bunny guy?
Fun bunny.
Yeah. God. Those are guys that you have fun with. And I'm like, Debbie, you can just say like they're bang friends or like fuck buddies. Like, I don't know
Miss
what she was
Debbie
trying to talk about.
Enjoys an enormous hog as much as the next Southern lady.
It's that Ohio accent coming out again.
I've had some fun bunnies in my past.
She absolutely hasn't. Debbie definitely hasn't. She needs to have some fun bunnies, maybe.
I loved Danielle. Whenever Danielle talks about herself, it's hysterical. I'm so unique. Nobody else is me.
Okay. Thanks. Would it be okay if Gabe met up with a former lover and went to see that person without you? Gabe's like, we don't have to, I can answer that question. The answer
no,
is
gracias.
Absolutely fucking no.
Muy, muy mal.
But, I mean, Danielle is sticking to her guns. She's like, who said, somebody said, made the comment, Danielle, you tell Johan what to do all the time, and you're like always bossing him around and trying to control him. He asked you not to do one simple thing, and you just couldn't do it.
Well, yeah, and to be fair to Tim for his initial stupid take, it seems like Tim and to some degree Veronica come around to Johan's side during this.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, Tim says, yeah, that would have ruined my birthday too. And Tim is the one that said, this is just too one-sided. Even if Johan's wrong, you never listen to his feelings at all. And then Tim and Veronica both agree that you have to prioritize your partners over your friendships. And if you can't handle that, if that's too much for you, then you should break up.
I loved it when Sean Robinson brought up that Tim and Veronica are exes, but they hang out all the time. They literally are
good.
Attached to the
that
hip.
That was fair. That was totally fair.
But we know boundaries, though, don't we?
Do you? Tim walking men out to the car after Veronica's dates?
Yeah.
This kind of reminds me of the Carlos and Valentine debate on Love and Paradise, where it's about, do you put your partner over your friends, even if your partner's being unreasonable about it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know me.
Yes.
I'm ride or die. The answer is yes or break up.
Yeah.
And if breaking up might be the right thing to do if they're really unreasonable about it. But yeah.
I have to say, I still come back to the fact I wouldn't, like, if I had only been with a boyfriend or a husband for like a year and he was fucking some like super hot person immediately before that, and then he wanted to hang out with them,
and they didn't break up for any real reason either.
Yeah. I'd be like, I would be uncomfortable with it.
Right. Yeah.
And it's not like I would even think, oh, they're going to cheat on me. It would just be, I don't really want them hanging out with some hot person they were fucking like 10 months ago. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a reason. Maybe this is unreasonable, and maybe it is an insecurity thing. But I think, yeah, I would also think like, what is this person giving you that I'm not? When it's that recent, I don't know. It's just someone going just through town is not a good enough reason to throw away your partner's feelings. And if those feelings are that disturbing to you, you need to work that out. But, I do think that Johan was a little bit, but again, this is a cultural thing too. Literally every person south of Texas, like, is on Johan's side about this. All of them are.
Everybody.
Every single person. But so this is a cultural thing. This isn't just him being a misogynist that wouldn't let his woman out of the kitchen or something. Although I don't put that past him either. But this is something you have to work through instead of just saying, fuck your feelings, I'm doing whatever I want.
Yeah, and people do have unreasonable feelings sometimes. That doesn't mean that they're not real feelings. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hello, lovely listeners. Are you sad that this podcast is just about over? Do you need something to listen to while you're gardening or going on long walks this spring and summer, or cooking or cleaning the house? If you want to listen to Kyle and I talk about the absurdity of the 90 Day franchise of shows and occasionally some other reality TV for even more hours every week, sign up for our premium podcast feed either via Patreon or with our 30-second sign up on Supercast. So easy. It's $5 a month. It's extremely easy to sign up for and add to the podcast app of your choice. You'll get an extended version of this podcast weekly, about 1.5 to 2 hours long, and our B-Sides episode, which drops on Wednesday, where we discuss more 90 Day Gossip, any other 90 Day shows that are currently airing right now. That's Love and Paradise, which is on Discovery Plus. And we're also covering right now You and Me and My Ex, Match Me Abroad, and we'll be covering Single Life and 90 Day UK when it comes out this summer. You'll also get full access to our complete archive podcast catalog. So what are you waiting for? Treat yourself. It's $5. It was just Mother's Day. You deserve this. Visit realitycraycray.com to sign up now. That's realitycraycray.com. Who was your favorite couple this season? Who do you think was like the best?
Fuck. You know, maybe this is a hot take, but I think I gotta say Jen and Rishi.
I fucking agree.
Yeah.
Many good scenes.
They brought drama. They had the best ancillary characters by far. It's a tough love story. You can see both sides of the equation. You got culture shock. You got an American that actually seems sort of competent, which is a change.
Yeah.
She seems like she gets along fine in Jaipur. So that's not even part of the drama. So it's more relationship drama and cultural traditions and family issues. Then you have Americans just showing up, taking care of business. It was pretty entertaining.
We got the Deep V t-shirt when we were like shopping for clothes.
You get a fake catfishing storyline.
Wife school. Oil in the hair, but no sex.
No sex the whole time.
Remember that dance instructor, Jen's friend? The like wild dance instructor?
Astrology?
Oh, the astrologist was hilarious. It was a great... You're right. Best ancillary characters and just the whole dramatic scene of like Patriot Matchmaker dropping that shit with Bindia on the family.
Horrifying.
So like the whole thing, it was very dramatic though. I think they win for best storyline. And you know what the cherry on top though is that they actually did have a lot of love for each other. Yes. Like they were a real couple. It wasn't fake. It wasn't ulterior motives. Like they really, really were into each other. And so I don't know. It was also like authentic. So yeah. But do you think we'll see any of these people again besides Nicole and Mahmoud, which we know we're going to see again?
God, I feel like there's probably... I bet you they'll pay Danielle to fly back to DR and we'll see the breakup. It'll be an entire fucking season.
You think?
Of HEA, perhaps, yeah.
I was going to say,
just,
like...
It's left open enough.
Yeah. Gabe and Isabel are like really beloved, I think. And so I wonder if they do like HEA with them, but it would be really boring. I think they need, but they did that with Kenny and Armando, you know?
I suspect if they do have another season, it'll only be if Isabel gets a tourist visa. Mm-hmm. And then there'll just be Florida drama, right? With this
Monica.
Second, I mean, they kind of opened up the door with this second wedding discussion. So I think it's possible, but I kind of feel like it's more likely they'll be relegated to the Discovery Plus now Max follow up bullshit shows like Sean Robinson Presents or whatever the fuck that show was.
That show hasn't been on in like 3 years.
I know. Yeah. Are those dead? Are all those like follow-up shows dead? Yeah.
They're so cheap to produce. Why wouldn't they just keep going?
I mean, Single Life is objectively better and just as cheap.
So
and now apparently they're making 90-Day Marriage Boot Camp. So I don't know. Maybe they've pivoted.
I just had a terrifying thought.
Hit us.
Is Chris going to be on Single Life?
Fuck. Stop it. No.
Didn't they put Angela on Single Life?
Ugh.
I can't remember.
Angela, you mean you have to admit she's more entertaining than Chris.
Oh, you're right. Chris is just such a wah wah wah. They would put Debbie on Single Life though.
Oh, absolutely.
Debbie doesn't really date. She doesn't like make out or you know. Even Debbie could be clear that she wanted to fuck, you know?
She could be on Match Me Abroad.
That'd be funny. She could. That show
just
needs
some
her
spice,
on too.
Weird dates. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I loved this season. I thought it was a great season. even though we got the three-part tell-all, it's pretty par for the course nowadays, so it wasn't like a big surprise. I don't know. Before the 90 has some big shoes to fill, this was a great season of tow.
I agree. Most of the episodes went by quickly. We had some really funny moments. Some of the storylines didn't land, but that's every season. Overall, good stuff. Stop doing three-part tell-alls. they could have cut it down. But overall, good stuff. I agree. Can't wait for Before the 90.
1 week, Kyle. We're going to be in Before the 90 next week. I'm so pumped. Ugh. Good stuff.
Thanks, guys, for listening.
Thanks for listening. Be back next week with Before the 90. Talk to you then.
Bye, guys. Bye.